Hello there, my fellow Podverse travelers. I wanted to start off this episode with a special announcement, I guess you could say. Before we get to the episode, I'm going to take a moment to address the June 24th, 2022 Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. This decision stripped away the legal right to have a safe and legal abortion, restricting access to comprehensive reproductive care, including abortion, threatens the health and independence of all Americans. This decision could also lead to the loss of other rights. To learn more about what you can do to help, go to podvoices.help. I encourage you to speak up, take care, and spread the word. You're listening to Find a Podcast About. Thank you for hitting play. I'm your host, Timothy Chemo Bryan, and I bring my experience with podcasting since 2006 as a listener and a podcaster. I am here to help you outsmart the algorithm and find your next binge-worthy podcast. Here's how the show works. I comb the millions of podcasts currently available for free on various platforms. And then I come back to you with what I've found. Sure, you can use search engines for recommendations from many podcast apps. But I feel that getting a personal recommendation from a real, live, breathing person is still the best way to find the gems that are out there. The show is broken up into three halves. Yep, you guessed it. I'm a huge fan of Car Talk. Bear with me. The first half of the show is the stats. This gives you all the details about where to find the show, how many episodes, who's hosting the shows. Basically, this is for those that just want the stats. The second half of the show, I dig deeper into the show that I'm reviewing and let you know how well the hosts interact, talk about their audio quality, and let you know what I think about the show. Now, that last half of the show is where I talk about why the show is binge-worthy, where to start your journey, and I'll be reaching out to the hosts to see if they would like to discuss their show a little bit and talk about their podcasting journey. So, let's get going on this episode. Today, I'll be reviewing a personal favorite of mine, Verge of the Dude. Again, as I've said in other episodes, I'm not sure how I found this podcast, but oh boy, I'm glad I did, and I think I've found a kindred soul in this podcast. So the host is Lance Anderson, and you can find his podcast at vergeofthedude.com. Links, as always, will be in the show notes. At the time that I'm recording this, he's got 86 episodes, and they average about 17 minutes. The first episode of the podcast dropped on the 13th of November, 2018. Now, I say this podcast because he's had other podcasts in the past, and he's one of the people that I consider part of the first wave in podcasting. The description in Apple Podcasts reads, I leave rambling voicemail messages on my friend's answering machine, and you get to hear them. They're proudly presented, raw, unedited, and in one take. Now, this podcast has multiple categories, such as arts, personal journey, journals, society and culture, books, and performing arts. And I think that's a fair representation of what you will find when you listen to this podcast. The frequency is roughly monthly, but that's always subject to change. You know, it's one of those podcasts that comes out when it comes out. And that's one of the things I like about it, because it makes, you know, Lance's audience wait for when he has something to put out. He doesn't have a personal Facebook page that, you know, I'm going to refer you to, but he does have a page called Solo Podcasters, as well as a Twitter account. Now, I couldn't find, you know, the Good Pods, Chartable, and Listen Notes ranking, But that really doesn't matter because I think this podcast is a hidden gem. I do wish him all the success in his podcast, but part of me is a little bit selfish because it feels like, you know, I'm one of the cool kids that knows about this podcast. I do recommend it to others. I usually need to know the person pretty well to recommend this podcast because there's a certain personality type that really enjoys this type of podcast. Now, I'll tell you more about that in the third half of the show. Lastly, I just wanted to say that there's no support page or merch page for this podcast that I could find. But, you know, maybe I can talk good old Lance into, you know, providing one. Are you happy with your podcast app? I know, hard question to answer. But let me ask you this. Does your app allow you to rate the podcast you're listening to? Hey, great if it does. But does it allow you to rate each and every episode that you listen to? Does your app allow you to join a community of other listeners and share and comment on your favorite podcasts? Now, if you're a podcaster, does the app that your listeners are using give you a tip jar so that that way they can support your show directly instead of paying fees to someone else? Well, Good Pods allows you as a listener and as a podcaster to rate and review all of the episodes of a podcast, as well as joining a community of other podcast enthusiasts to discuss that thing we all love, podcasts. Give it a shot. You may not go back to your old app, and you might find a community that is engaged and excited about the same things you are. Grab it on Google Play and the Apple App Store. Okay, so here's where I geek out about this review. And I'm getting a little conflicted here. I'll tell you the truth. This one is an underground gem. And I don't want to sound like one of those people who complain that when everyone jumps on the bandwagon, you know, when they hear something cool. I'll just say this. Again, I wish Lance all the success he's looking for in this world and then some. With that out of the way, let's jump into this one. Now, you know me, I like good sound quality. So we're going to start there. Lance is doing many of these episodes outdoors, and that adds a certain ambiance to the podcast. It makes it seem more intimate, if you can even get more intimate in podcasting. But before we dive deeply into the sound quality, you got to understand a few things about this podcast. Once you read the description of the show, you're to understand that, you know, these are phone calls to a friend that we're privileged enough to hear. So think about this. Do you take your calls outside? I know I'm guilty of taking calls while I'm driving with the car window down. Usually they're spam calls, but, you know, I've talked with friends while driving with the window down and no one complained about that. So keep that premise in mind as to how the show is, you know, is running. Now, during the pandemic, many times he'd be out in his backyard while recording the show, at the same time doing a video of the show. And he had some, you know, chimes that would rattle in the background and a bit of cowbell. So for me, when he was doing this, it was a great reminder to get outside. And even though we were in lockdown, you know, go outside, enjoy nature, because there's more to life than protecting yourself from a virus. Get your shots, get your, you know, vaccines and whatnot, but make sure you get a chance to, you know, go outside. Now, when you listen to especially those episodes, you may hear a bird nearby or an airplane passing overhead. He comments on that, just like you would if you were talking to a friend on a phone. It's these sounds from nature and life that you can't, you know, really perfectly replicate them, no matter how good of a sound engineer you are. I think if he didn't include those elements, it would, you know, diminish from the illusion that he's trying to create. Maybe it's not an illusion. That's for you to decide. So staying on topic is the next area I want to talk about. Let's listen to what Lance says about the show.
But I'm going to start a new podcast just for these calls for you because, because I need to start doing podcasting again one way or another. And this is the easiest way to do is just make these calls to you and then record them at the same time and then upload them. So that's what I'm going to do, and that's why I'm here. I'm up here on the deck of the Zangray observation deck here.
Now, this clip was from the very first episode from the start of the podcast, and it tells you what you can expect. You know, he's going to ramble on about topics that come to mind and, jump off the main topic. Now, if this is simply an act, then David Mamet has a lot to worry about. I've never met anyone who can write this type of monologue, if indeed that's what it is. Now, if you read the show notes for each episode, you're going to get a general idea of what Lance will be talking about. And he does stay on topic for the most part, but I got to say that when he jumps off topic and takes us on a little trip, well, that brings me back each time to the episode. And then he comes back to the theme of the episode, and, it's just like some good jazz, or maybe, what an expert storyteller does. The overall feel of the show for me, as a listener, is that I'm overhearing a one-sided conversation of somebody leaving a voicemail. Now, these voicemails are long because they average 17 minutes. There is no, TLDR, the too long didn't read aspect of it. You're going to hear the whole thing. And for me, I like being a voyeur sometimes. And there are very few plays or movies or even podcasts that do this for me. As a poet in my other life and podcast, I observe what's going on around me. And many times, I'll be sitting with my wife when we go out and have dinner and make up stories of the other diners in the restaurant, especially if I overhear a snippet of their conversation. Now, in Western culture, this is not appropriate behavior. But, I think, many people, when they at least overhear a conversation that may be fairly interesting, they tune in, they chime in on that. So if you have that kind of a fetish, this is definitely going to scratch that itch. Now let's look at how Lance welcomes newcomers and introduces the topics. As I said earlier, you're going to need to read the show notes for each episode. The titles of the episodes do give you a clue as to what he's going to be talking about, but you really need to dig into those episode descriptions. Now, if you were to stumble upon this podcast on your own, I could see where you wouldn't quite understand what's going on unless you listened to the very first episode. But after a few episodes, you'll become accustomed to the illusion, as I like to call it. Again, I'm using air quotes for those of you who are not watching the video that I'm doing for all my episodes. For me, there was a payoff to stick around and listen to more episodes when I first started listening to this. If you only give this podcast a cursory listen, you may not find that payoff. I also have to say that I tend to entertainment that isn't really passive. There's nothing wrong with passive entertainment. I enjoy it as well. But podcasts like this, where you have to work a little bit to get what's going on, that's my kind of thing. You don't have to know calculus or when the Holy Roman Empire collapsed, 1492, by the way. With that said, this is one of those podcasts that I don't think needs to necessarily go out of its way to introduce themselves to newcomers. That would kind of disrupt the illusion. Although, in the first clip, the first episode, we learned that he is recording a conversation for this podcast. So let's finish up this half of the show by talking about the overall feel of the show and how each episode relates to the theme. Now, Lance really makes this show reflective, confessional, a nostalgic tour de force. Take a listen to this clip from an episode about Jack Kerouac's 100th birthday. By the way, he died in 1969. And yes, at the end of this podcast, there will be a test, which, a 100th birthday coincides with Lance's 17th anniversary of podcasting.
I just kind of gone through this thing. It was kind of, it's stupid, but I had my my 17th anniversary of podcasting kind of passed without fanfare last week,
And I was going to do something here. Again, I was going to tie in the Kerouac 100 thing, maybe, even though it wasn't quite on the same day. Because the Kerouac 100 was, I think, March 12th, if I got that right. And without checking my notes, the notes I don't have. Anyways, so, you know, nobody cares. That's the bottom line. Nobody cares. Now, way more people care about Kerouac turning 100 and celebrating his stuff or whatever than, you know, than don't care about my stupid, you know, weird podcast.
Now, when I hear this clip, I think about, you know, when Jack was, you know, if he was alive or when he was alive, 17 years into his writing vocation, and would he have had something to say about one of his literary heroes that's similar to this? I'm pretty sure he would have mentioned something similar. On the confessional side, let's listen to this clip that really breaks the fourth wall.
You know, I have my own connections to Kerouac and alcohol. Some of you longtime listeners may remember something I did called On the Road, the Sun Also Rises. So, you know, which was sort of about some of that stuff. So anyway, so we have a connection there. And
now, not many podcasters would put themselves out to listeners like this. Yeah, like I said earlier, podcasting can be very intimate. This podcast is very intimate. And the clip that you just heard shows that, you know, Lance is willing to let you into his world. Looking towards his nostalgic side, this clip is from the same episode from the Kerouac 100th birthday episode.
I'm bumming out. I really missed an opportunity to do something on Kerouac 100. Hashtag Kerouac 100. You know, it's one of those things where it was his 100th birthday. I knew about it. I was tuned into it. Everything got kind of a little bit screwed up, but I was over in Altadena, so I was going to walk over towards the old Zangre and just kind of be near the Zangre and kind of try to make the call from there. But anyways, it got sideways.
Now, in that clip, he's talking about, you know, how many folks had forgotten Jack Kerouac's birthday and the impact that Jack Kerouac had on a lot of artists that are, you know, still alive today, including, you know, Lance and myself. You know, Bob Dylan and the like, which, you know, Bob Dylan is also a favorite of Lance's, but you can hear that, you know, that bit of nostalgia that we have. And, you know, the, I guess the, what am I trying to say? Sometimes the frustration with the culture that doesn't pay attention to great artists like this and kind of forgets about them. If you like what you heard so far, then I'd like to ask you to reach out. You can email me directly, timothy@findapodcastabout.xyz, or leave me a voicemail at the website, findapodcastabout.xyz. I want to help you find your next binge-worthy podcast. And if you want me to find you a podcast in any category that you're interested in, let me know. Now, if you're a podcaster and feel that your podcast would be served by appearing on the show, I want to talk to you as well. Use the same methods to reach out. Now, I'm on Twitter @FindAPodcast, Facebook @FindAPodcastAbout. Another thing I'd like to ask is if you found value in this podcast, pass it along to a friend. Lastly, doing this podcast is a labor of love, but love ain't cheap. So consider donating to my Buy Me a Coffee Fund right on the website, or go to buymeacoffee.com/findapodcastabout. Each episode takes about 5 to 7 hours of research and about 2 to 3 hours of production time, about 10 hours for each episode. Let me tell you, that's a lot of coffee. And like I said, the best recommendation comes from a real person. So, fill my coffee cup, and I'll help you outsmart the algorithm. All right, so we're at that point where I turn you from a listener to this show into a binger, Verge of the Dude. Now, if you're looking for something that's a little off, something that is not formulaic, hey, this is the podcast for you. The cool kids are listening to it, that's for sure. As I said in the first half of the show, this is not a podcast that I recommend to everyone willy-nilly, but it is a favorite podcast of mine. And when I see it pop up in my podcast app of choice, which of course, as we know, is Good Pods, I make sure to listen to it right away. The schedule of the show is when it's ready to go into the world, and only Lance knows when that is. Every time I listen to him, I feel like I've found a kindred spirit, and this world seems just a little less lonely. I know if somebody says that about my show, I know I've been successful. So where do you start with this podcast? Well, it depends on what you're interested in. Read through the show titles and notes and dive in. Since you're listening to this podcast, you already know what to expect with Lance. So you may want to start off with the first episode just to kind of get the feel of it. But many of my favorites were recorded actually during the pandemic. But I do have one special episode that I really enjoy. And this is the one where he's doing a tribute to Joe Frank. Joe Frank is one of my favorite audio drama type people. In this clip, he's attempting to recreate what a Joe Frank episode may sound like. And I think he does a really good job. This isn't imitation. This is an homage. Fancy word. And I got to say, he does this better than I ever could dream about doing it. So take a listen.
Quietly in another part of the house or the apartment and in another room, but not so far away that I couldn't hear exactly what was being said. And they were just sort of doing this weird fantasy thing of talking about how they would love to like meet up with Joe Frank, how like they would love to somehow meet Joe Frank at some diner somewhere at night and just go on some crazy adventure with him or drive through the desert with him. I mean, they were just kind of creating these weird scenarios, and it was like Joe Frank was like the thing that could bring them together or something like that. It was like some sort of magnetic thing that they were going to go on this adventure with Joe Frank.
This is the episode that is called Joe Frank Experiment. I'd say go ahead and start there and see what happens. And by the way, while you're doing that, go check out some Joe Frank. You can go to his website, joefrank.com, or get on YouTube. And a lot of the programs are listed in YouTube right now. Take a listen. You're going to understand kind of, you know, my mentality. You'll understand Lance's mentality by listening to some Joe Frank. And you'll get some of our sensibilities and, you know, things that we like to listen to. So take a look. You got a two-for-one here today. You got a little bit of Joe Frank. Actually, you got a three-for-one. A little bit of Joe Frank, a little bit of Jack Kerouac, and our guest today, which is Lance Anderson. So I got a voicemail message from our guest here today. No, I'm kidding. I'm lucky to have Lance to come onto the show here today and talk with us about his show. So we had a little technical issue through serendipity or through the universe or whatnot, we decided to go ahead and do this through the phone waves. So the sound quality is going to be different from what you're used to from this podcast, but I think it matches the feel of Verge of the Dude. So without further ado, I present to you my talk with Lance Anderson of Verge of the Dude. Yes, I do have the man, the myth, the legend, Lance Anderson here with us this fine, fine evening. Lance, how are you doing today?
Very good, thank you. I don't know if I'm a legend per se, but I'll take it. I'll take what I can get, I guess, at this point.
Well, you're a legend in my mind, so we'll just
there
have
you
the
go. There you we'll go. Have my the, mind too. So that's two of us.
Hey, you know, as long as I can be part of the fan club, I'm there with you, man.
Right.
One thing I wanted to jump right on into is the review that we did for you here. And I wanted to clear up that the Joe Frank episode. I got that a bit wrong, and I was hoping you could clear that up for me where I got it wrong.
Well, I think the only thing that's wrong is that it's not a typical episode of my podcast. I was working with a guy named Stan Hillis, who's no longer with us, a good friend of mine. We went way, way back. Mm-hmm. He and I, we used to perform together back starting in the mid-90s, and he's a musician, and he did a little sound design, created some music in the Joe Frank style. And you can hear his voice on the piece. So it's not typical to my podcast. I think that would be the one, you know, I know you wanted to recommend that to your listeners. And I would just say that's great. I would love for people to hear that one because I think it's a really cool story and it sounds cool and all of that. But it's not typical of me doing the normal, you know, voicemail to the dude thing. You know what I mean? It's a little bit different. It's a little more produced. It's a little more something, something. So, I just want to make sure people knew that. Cause if they listen to that and they hear the other, they're going to think, well, wait, what happened to the music and, you know, all that other stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, and some of your episodes do have cool music, like with the chimes and the cowbell and all that kind of good stuff. So you do have that for some of them.
Yeah, I agree. But it's a more abstract kind of thing. But, like I say, for me, what's important is that people realize that the typical way that I do it is you know, just a real simple leaving a voicemail, long rambling voicemail, for a person that I call the dude. So, or dude, really, not the dude. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, there is a difference between dude and the dude.
Oh yeah. So, huge difference.
Huge difference.
So you're a solo podcaster and you run the solo podcasters group on Facebook. I'm part of that. Obviously we can't put this episode on that one because, you know, it's not really a solo show right at this point.
Right.
But sure. What do you think are the strengths of being a solo podcaster? And also, what are the weaknesses of being a solo podcaster?
Well, you know, the strengths are you never have to worry about lining up somebody else's schedule. You never have to worry about, you know, certainly with my podcast, I sort of look for the muse to hit me, and when it does, I record, you know. Mm-hmm. And if I was doing it with somebody else, I'd have to look for the muse to hit me and then call my partner or whatever and say, hey, are you ready to do it, you know, or be on a regular schedule, which is typically what people do, and just sort of grind it out. And that's fine. But I think as a listener to my show, you would probably agree that sometimes I'm able to capture lightning in a bottle, you know, where there's a little magic moment or something that happens. And in part, that's because I'm doing it solo. Mm-hmm. Now, the disadvantage is you have nobody to help you promote it. You have nobody to help you produce it. You have nobody to encourage you to keep moving forward. You have to do everything on your own. And that can be a real grind, and that can be real tough, and it can be real lonely. And especially when, in my case, I have what I would consider a relatively small audience by, you know, typical standards. So I don't necessarily get a lot of feedback. There's a lot of times where I feel like I'm really out there very much alone, you know, like in the middle of the desert with the wind blowing, you know, and the sand, you know, blowing in my face. So it can be quite lonely, doing a solo podcast. But on the other hand, you know, when you do a solo podcast, you always know that you'd be able to do a podcast. If you have a partner, let's say, somebody who, let's say, does a podcast with a partner, but the partner maybe does all the posting and uploads it, does all those things. Mm-hmm. And let's say there's a fallout between the two of you. If you're the partner that's not doing all the, you know, the logistics of posting the podcast, you don't necessarily know how to do a podcast.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. But if you do a solo podcast, you know how to do a podcast. And So there's pluses and minuses.
Absolutely. Me, myself, I really enjoy being a solo podcaster, quote unquote solo. I'm mostly solo, not all the time solo. But sure. You know, just for everything that you've mentioned there, it's, you know, it's on my time. It's, you know, when I'm ready to put it out and I'm, you know, the head honcho in charge. Then again, Just like you were saying, you know, you're not getting, you know, the feedback all the time that you would like to have to encourage you to go on. But I don't know, me being from Chicago, that kind of not having that feedback kind of puts a big old chip on my shoulder, because Chicagoans have a chip on their shoulder anyways with New York and Los Angeles. And it makes me go, well, screw it. I'm just going to go ahead and do it anyways. And, you know, the hell with what anybody else thinks.
Right.
The question I was going to ask you is, and I want to know, but I don't want to know, but I do want to know. It's one of those questions.
Sure.
Are we going to ever hear the voice of Dude?
No.
Okay.
And there's a, you know, I don't know how much, I don't know how this is structured, and you can edit this part out if you need to, but, you know, I did hear your sort of review of my podcast, and one of the concepts you were playing around with in describing it is that there's sort of an illusion thing, and you don't know what you're hearing and what's real and what's not real and all that kind of stuff. And I think that really is an important part to what I'm doing. And I think about how in the show Twin Peaks, you know, they were going along and they had the show and it had this great mystery. And then at a certain point, the executives were saying to David Lynch and Mark Frost, well, we need to solve the murder of Laura Palmer. And they didn't want to do that, because that is the sort of the goose that lays the golden egg, that all the other mysteries spin off of that, you know?
Right.
And so to break the sort of that part of the illusion, so to speak, would I think diminish what I'm doing? Because what I think is true is that whatever people think I'm doing, there's a good chance they're right, but they also would maybe be surprised too. And so there's something happening that I think most people, there's a part of it that they would be surprised to know that there's a certain base of reality that's happening in the podcast, while at the same time, the whole thing is like an elaborate magic trick. And in the way that when you create anything, there's an element of a magic trick to it, because whether it's a film or a song or anything, you put these different pieces together to create this other thing. And the process of putting those other pieces together to create this other thing is, in a way, an illusion or a magic trick. I mean, you know, if you think of, like, you know, any song that you like, you know, whether it's the instruments that they use or the lyrics or whatever it is, it transports you in a certain way. And like, for instance, one of my big influences you mentioned in the review, you know, Bob Dylan, you know, he doesn't like to talk too much about his process and all that stuff, because he likes to keep that element of illusion going. I've been kind of really interested in Orson Welles recently. And, you know, he was started out as a magician. And, you know, whenever you create a film, that's a bunch of magic that goes on there. So I think the creating and holding on to the illusion part of it is a key component, and not solving the murder of Laura Palmer.
Perfect. Yeah, and that's why, and I hope we never do hear this person's voice. You know, person is never revealed, because then where do you go from there?
Right. And then also the thing is, I've had people say to me, you know, it feels as if you were talking directly to me, that I was the dude, that I was the person that you're talking to. And You know what I mean? So I want that to be there. I want the person. It's working at its best when that is happening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that is part of it too, you know? Yeah.
And I know every time that it pops out into my player, I use Good Pods and I use Google Podcasts. Every time I see that thing pop out, I'm just like, okay, I have to download this episode. I have to go listen to it right now. Stop whatever I'm doing.
I'm sorry. That's just amazing. I at one point you had said, and this is a few years ago when we first met, you had mentioned me on one of your other podcasts that you would put on this like special shirt you had or some t-shirt that's like a funky t-shirt that maybe has a little bit of off-color joke on it or something like that. I can't remember exact details. Do you still do that?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I always do. You always do. Yep.
Nice. Yeah, I've always thought that was a nice little strange detail. I mean, I think what that taps into is it's a very quirky podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's as far as I know, nobody else is doing anything quite like it. They're doing things, you know, obviously people telling their own stories and all of that personal journal style and all of that. So it's there's a lot of genres that it matches up with, but in its ultimate execution, I don't know of another podcast that's quite doing what I'm doing. And in that regard, it's not for most people. Most people want something that's maybe a little more linear, a little more kind of, they can easily understand exactly what's happening, that there's no confusion, that it's not, that the sound is maybe better, all these other things that maybe would keep them from really enjoying what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But for the people that get past all of that or look for things that are weirder or stranger or offbeat or whatever the terms you want to use, they can groove with it and they love it and they'll wear a special t-shirt and listen to it, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
And like I said in the review, it's not for everybody. It's not, formulaic.
In fact, I would say it's not for most people, I would say.
Yeah.
I would say that when I start, I did a different style podcast when I first started. It was more, you know, there would be a little opening music and all the kinds of things, more like a traditional style. And I would tell a story and, you know, with, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it just had more of a, you know, traditional feel to it. And, what was my point though? God, I was going to make a good point, but, anyways, I do forget the point I was trying to make, but this thing that I'm doing now is, it's just more abstract. Oh, right. So when I was doing something that I thought was going to be embraced by like a larger population or whatever, you know, and especially when I was first starting podcasting because I had some momentum. Mm-hmm. But I realized pretty early on that what I was doing was not for most people. Mm-hmm. And that was, in a way, a hard realization to come to terms with. But on another level, it was like, you know what? Okay, just accept that. And I kind of got into this thing where I felt like, what I do is for about 10% of the population. There's about 10% of the population, and I don't mean the world population, but you know, but you know what I mean, just in general, people that listen to podcasts or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's this 10% out there. Now, not all 10% know about my podcast or will ever hear it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the people within that 10%, if they find it, they're going to groove on it. They're going to tune into it, and so that's my audience. Though that weird offbeat 10% of the population of podcast listeners or whatever. And if they can line up with it, I think they're going to groove on it. So, and so, you know, I don't know how many listeners you have to your review podcast or whatever. I don't know how many people go and listen or whatever, but I think probably most will go, this isn't quite for me. Mm-hmm. But I do think you're going to push me towards some people that are going to hear it for the first time and go, wait a minute. This is cool.
Yeah.
This is different, you know? So, and I appreciate it. And in fact, I have a small, but seemingly loyal group that's over in Virginia or something like that, wherever you know, and, you've turned some people on, I can tell. So I appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and it's only, like I say, it's only the cool kids, and not the cool kids in high school, the real right. cool kids that weren't jerks, you know, the kids that were into the weird things, you know, the quote right. unquote weird right. things. This is going to be a hard question to ask because sure. I think you've answered it a little bit. But for you, what is success at the end of the day with this podcast? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer. I feel like this podcast that I'm doing at the moment is not something that in will meet any kind of traditional metrics of success. You know, it's something that I do, and I'm doing it now, and it keeps me doing podcasting. I've got some other projects I'm working on that are, you know, this kind of family history slash true crime thing that I'm working on with my cousin and some other stuff. And those will be, you know, put through the, you know, through the machine of podcasting, and will be judged whether or not they're successful or a failure. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I will try to promote them in a way that they get the attention I hope that they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
This one is different. This one to me is it kind of is what it is. And you know, it'd be great for, I think a success would be if it got picked up in some, you know, if New York Times piece or something like that, or,
yeah.
you know, something, some legacy media thing that wrote about it, or, you know, and said, hey, there's this thing that's bizarre and strange and you got to check it out, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool. And it would be cool to have more listeners, no doubt about that. That would be successful. But, you know, all of that is, you know, you can put too much emphasis on that stuff. And
right.
I remember, you know, when I first started podcasting, my buddy Dan Klass, who got me into podcasts, told me about it. He and I were out doing open mics and various other little small gigs around Los Angeles. I was doing more storytelling. He was doing more comedy. But sometimes we would be at the same gigs, and we had been friends for a while. And we'd probably been friends about 10 years or so before podcasting got going. And he directed some of my shows that I had done, live shows and theaters and mm-hmm. other things. And he was telling me, he said, you know, you'll be great for this. This is a thing for you. You'll really, you know, he says, you know, it's like we go out and we perform at these shows, and, you know, it can be a great show, but it's not recorded or anything, and it just goes up into the ether.
Mm-hmm.
He says, here, you can record this thing, and it'll go out, and these 50 some odd people will, you know, hear it automatically. Now,
yeah.
at the time, you know, 50 people, like, you know, what is 50 people? But at the time, because it was such a new thing, that sounded like a lot of people.
Sure.
And truth is, whether it's 50 people or in my case currently now, you know, several hundred people or whatever it is that you know, listen to the podcast, if you put several hundred people into a room and you stood on stage and you're performing for several hundred people, that's a lot of people.
That is.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of people. It's not tens of thousands. It's not hundreds of thousands. It's not millions. No, it's none of those.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still it's a significant thing. And the truth is, you know, you don't know the way that you're impacting people's lives when you're putting something out there like this. I mean, I'll see when somebody, you know, maybe downloads the whole show, you know, and you know, maybe they're going on a cross-country trip and they, you know, drive from Florida, trying to get away from the hurricane, to California,
mm-hmm.
and they listen to the whole, you know, the whole catalog, and they listen to the whole thing,
yep.
and they felt that they've gotten to know me, and, you know, I mean, in a couple of the episodes from, I can't even think what year it was, but a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
when my friend Stan, who's part of that Joe Frank podcast, when he died, I did a couple episodes about that, and I broke down in tears about that. And so, mm-hmm. you know, you get this arc. When I was living at the place called the Zangria Estate and mm-hmm. doing a show from the balcony up there, and then now I'm in Burbank doing it, or sometimes in Altadena as I am now. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, and so there's these, you know, kind of an evolution thing that happens that somebody can tune into that. And it's like people aren't numbers.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, we look at our stats and we see them as numbers, and I do it too. Mm-hmm. But the truth is behind those numbers are people, and real people that have lives and have, you know, they're giving you your time. You're giving you their time mm-hmm. to listen to your show. And like I say, it's not for most people. I make mm-hmm. a disclaimer about that on my show notes, mm-hmm. which I do put a lot of work into those show notes, and I appreciate you realizing or mm-hmm. mentioning to your listeners that there's value in checking out those show notes if they want to kind of browse around to see what show they may be interested in listening to first, which episode, mm-hmm. because I do lay out kind of the topics that I'm going to talk about, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyways, I hope that was the answer.
Excellent. Yeah, that's the answer. I mean, the success is a difficult thing to define, and most,
especially with this, yeah. with this kind of show that I'm doing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, at the end of the day, are you happy with it? Yeah. Boom. That's success right there. I mean, you could be doing a million other things that is drudgery work. Trust me, I've done it before. But this kind of stuff you enjoy at the end of the day, you're rocking and rolling. You're good to go.
Yeah.
Where do you see this? Where do you see Verge of the Dude in maybe a year, 5 years, 10 years from now?
Well, I think no matter what happens with my future podcasting career, which mm-hmm. which like I say, I've got some other stuff I'm doing, and some of those are more kind of, let's call them more professional kind mm-hmm. of style projects. Even if I have success with those, I picture I will be doing this some form of this podcast mm-hmm. for as long as I'm doing a podcast or doing podcasting. So. You know, I just passed my 17th year of podcasting back in March. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to at least get to 20 years doing podcasting, unless something happens to me.
Sure.
But assuming I'm still alive and kicking, mm-hmm. I'm going to continue to do it, you know, mm-hmm. and let the chips fall where they may. And I do want. Can I just say this one little anecdote?
Yeah, absolutely. When you were,
one time, I was doing an episode, and I was talking about the film. What is it called? Sugarman. I can't think of this. Not Searching for Sugarman. What is the name of this? It would help if I knew the name of the movie, but I think it's called Searching for Sugarman or something like that. Anyway, it's a documentary about this guy, Rodriguez, this singer-songwriter guy, and really cool documentary about this guy who had been a singer-songwriter in Detroit, and he almost had a career, and it didn't quite click, and mm-hmm. but in the end, he caught on in South Africa. And it was kind of through bizarre circumstances. Anyways, mm-hmm. so I was recording a piece about that, and as I was recording, there was some sirens in the background. I was at the Zangria Estate, mm-hmm. and I had this kind of what I described later as like a peak experience. Like it was like almost like I had like a spiritual experience while I was recording, and I didn't know quite what it meant or whatever, but I realized that whatever I was doing in that moment, I was the only person in the world that could be doing that very thing in that moment. And so I, you know, recorded it, you know, put it out, blah, blah. Sure enough, the guy, not Rodriguez, but this guy Sugarman, who it's complicated, but he's the guy that started the search for Rodriguez and Sugarman was one of Rodriguez's songs, and this guy had a name similar to Sugarman, so everybody called him Sugarman, and you know, whatever. So it's a complicated mm-hmm. story, but he's the guy that got the whole search thing going from South Africa to find Rodriguez. And he, just by happenstance, came across my podcast, mm-hmm. and he listened to it, and he was feeling down about things, and he listened to that episode, and it moved him. Mm-hmm. And I realized in a way that's what I was experiencing. I was connecting ha- halfway around the world to him in that moment in a strange spiritual way. You know, it was like, it was, even though it wasn't live, I mean, recorded it and then posted it, you know, a day later, and he heard it a couple days after that. But there was some powerful connection thing that happened. And that's one of the things I really believe in podcasting is, and that's a success to me to make those kind of little connections. I know that was kind of convoluted and stuff, but you know, keep it, don't keep it, whatever.
Oh, no, I'm definitely keeping it. Yeah. Well, and that's the beauty of, you know, that's the beauty of podcasting is when we do make those connections that this, you know, 20 years ago, that kind of thing probably wouldn't have happened. I mean, you know, probably the best thing that you could have done is been like Joe Frank and be on KCRW, and maybe somebody hears it, you know, out in the ether, it somehow like that. But I mean, even, you know, now it's a miracle that that happened. 20 years ago, that would just be, you know, you might as well be a saint, you know, be a sainted in the Catholic Church or something.
Yeah.
Well, Lance, gosh, I would love to talk to you all night and just keep hitting record, but I do have one final question here for you, and that it kind of ties into our very first question where we were talking about the Joe Frank episode. So thinking back about all the episodes, where should somebody start their binge, do you think, on your show?
You know, the one it's hopelessly outdated. It's it's from another time period when I was doing these all through my original show Verge of the Fringe, and so it's I don't know when I recorded it 6 or 7 years ago. I ended up putting it on the Verge of the Dude feed, but I like it because it kind of captures the kind of wacky storytelling style that I do. It's I call it a Shaggy George Clooney story, and it's this kind of crazy story about having this girlfriend who was this waitress, and we ended up kind of going on this hike and walking by George Clooney's house, and got into a big argument about it, and then. Some interesting things happened after that. So I even though here again, in the end, I'm the fool of the thing, because in the end, I'm proven wrong. Like I thought, and at the time I recorded the podcast, I was still right, but I have since been proven wrong. I don't want to give away too much because there's a couple little things, but I like that one a lot. Recent ones, you know, I might even just pop over here because I did have an answer for that, and I now have forgotten what that is. But I want to, you know, kind of say for a recent one would be let me see. I like this one. Summer of 79. It's from actually a year ago. It's from September 8th, 2021, and it's you know, like in the show notes, I reminisce about being a goofy 13-year-old during the summer of 1979 and the time I made Molly Ringwald's stunning older sister Beth laugh at my expense. And I think that one is kind of a fun one. It kind of captures that. It's more of a story than some of them. And I think that's maybe not a bad way to go. And that's only about a year old, that one. So, I like that one.
Good deal.
There's some others, but you know, I'll do a quick little search here.
Sure. Well, and it's always hard to say, oh, this is one, you know, it's like saying the same thing about your kids. Yeah, this is my favorite kid. You can't really do that. You know, it depends on the day, though.
Sure. There's another one that kind of ties into some of the stuff we were talking about. It's called Archie Bunker and the Magic of Art. And I think we even kind of butted heads a little bit on the concept of, you know, is every podcaster an artist, and you know, who's an artist, who's not an artist, and all that kind of stuff. And so I think it poses some interesting questions. and about that. And so that one's kind of a possibly an interesting one for people to trip on. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably not a bad place to start. A couple of those, and there's one where it's free with DJ Bonebreak, and that one is not in the style of the Verge of the Dude thing at all. Mm-hmm. It's actually my 10th anniversary podcast that is now 17 years old. I mean, 7 years old. My 10th anniversary podcast. It's a very produced thing, but it does give people a sense of my journey of storytelling and podcasting and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So that's not a bad way to go if they want to kind of get a sense of, you know, how I got here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I find a lot of people do. They want to follow that journey, that story arc of you as a person, as you as, you know, right. the podcaster. They want to know from, you know, where did he start off from to where is he going now? So I think that's fantastic. All right. Appreciate it. Well, Lance, it's been a pleasure talking with you here tonight. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I definitely appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. And I want to say real quick, I really appreciate you helping just get the word out about my podcast, because really, really no one else is, so, you know, other than me. So I do appreciate all the help I can get. And, I not only appreciate that you're doing that, but I appreciate who you are, because we've gotten to know each other a little bit behind the scenes. So thank you. I really mean that.
Not a problem. Thank you so much.
So that's the episode. I want to thank you again for taking a listen. And if you want to outsmart the algorithm and have me review a podcast, email me, Timothy@findapodcastabout.xyz, or go to the website, findapodcastabout.xyz, where you can listen to all the other episodes and leave me a voicemail. I'm here to help you find your next binge-worthy podcast.